Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV and our coverage of Crunchyroll, Kiss Anime, Nine Animes, Jujutsu Kaisen. So this is going to be coverage of what, episodes 13 and 14, which are also episodes 37 and 38. It's Red Scale and Fluctuations. Big combat episodes. So basically there's three fights across two episodes. The first fight is just Yuji and Choso, which is the whole episode 13/37 Red Scale, obviously named Red Scale for a certain reason. I love this fight. The fight takes up the whole episode. I went back and reread it and the art in it is fantastic. It was just fun. It's just great stuff. So just the whole floor is open. Literally everything about this episode, this fight, let's just tackle it all.
Oh my god, this fight was incredible. I mean, I feel like I'm just repeating everything I say from the previous episode, but just the animations have been incredible in this season. I was blown away by this fight, to be honest. I honestly wasn't expecting much out of Choso. I know he is one of like the big bads because he rolls around with Jogo, yeah, Hanami and all of them. So I understand that he is a big bad. I guess it's just hard for me to wrap my head around, you know, a human on the villain side being that strong. And here we are with Choso and his, because his brothers were, while they were a tough fight for Yuji, I just feel like in the grand scheme of things, I felt like maybe they were a little weaker. And that's why my expectations for Choso maybe were a little weaker. And that's why they were far exceeded in this fight, if that makes sense.
Well, he's the big bro, man.
Yeah.
He's a beast. I love Choso. I love this fight. I think his power is so fucking cool. And their whole interaction, and Yuji, man, he's grown so much. And I like how we mentioned, like, you know, my intuitions tell me that if I don't do this and that, then I'm going to die right here. And I don't know. It's just everything about the fight was so well done. The animation, like you said, was fantastic. His power, the way they animated it, like, when I was reading the manga, like, I don't remember him just like pointing. I wish I could stand my mic up, but like pointing and using it kind of like a laser. Like that was so cool.
I agree. Yeah.
And then when Yuji was running away and he was like making circles with the fucking debris.
Oh yeah.
That, like, that was so cool.
That was genius. And I thought that was a nice touch.
It's gotta be like semi grade special cursed or whatever. Oh, like he's above one, I think. And Yuji stood his ground, man. Oh my god. But the ending of the fight was a little peculiar. You guys watch the after the credits scene of the fight?
No, definitely not.
Maybe
I'll just tell you guys, Gojo's or Geto's two little minion women girls like pull up to the body and they're like, oh, like let's do what we gotta do.
They did that as an after credit scene?
Yeah, to Yuji.
Interesting.
Yeah. I didn't see that. Okay.
I was anticipating that scene. I thought it would just open up the next time we see Yuji with that.
It probably will open up the next episode, because I have to comment, I like how this episode started up with Yuji running to the station, and he ran into, I always, his name escapes me always, the guy with
Maki
the mouth.
Or something like that. You know, Maki.
He's like, Ro.
Oh, yeah.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Salmon.
Yeah.
It's so funny, but the end of last episode ended with him just pulling up at the station. This was a lot cooler.
Dude, seeing the slow-mo of him jumping down and just, he like sees the feet of his enemy and he just immediately puts up like a stance, and Choso immediately hits the blood
laser.
It was
when he was like, like I my dodging it is 50-50, so I might as well like dictate when he actually starts shooting it.
That's the part I was trying to talk about.
The air, and then he right when he lands, he's like, all right, we get it.
I just love how
the fight just devolves into them just beating the shit out of each other in a bathroom. It's just fucking so badass. The amount of times that they just like square up perfectly and like their hands are like right next to each other and it's just bang and they just start going. I love it. I thought they animated it really fun, and like the way that Yuji uses the environment was great. Mm-hmm. Like the handicap bars in the stalls, like he's using the doors as cover.
And Mechamaru coming up clutch too.
Very clutch.
Just throw your thunder there.
Great deduction there from Mechamaru. It was just because he said, well, there's like a 10% chance that this works. Of course it's going to work. When they give me the odds like that, it's just always going to work out in our favor.
And I like how Mechamaru had the base knowledge of his classmate who has that same power.
Yes, and that was something to look out
that
for.
That was cool, you know, because we've seen this power before, but I think Chozo does it way better.
Does that mean that the classmate and Chozo are somehow related?
No, I think Chozo is a cursed womb like his brothers. Like he's just like...
Oh, is he a cursed womb? For some reason, I always thought he was human. I guess it's
he looks the most human, yeah.
Mm. He's like the most advanced out of like his brothers.
I actually did not know that. Okay, so that makes a lot more sense. The fact that the speed of the shot comes out at like far superior than the speed of sound is so badass. It's funny that we're getting this power too as we're watching Gen V with Marie.
I know. I'm
watching, I'm like, oh, if Marie ever got to this level of power, game over.
Well, this is better because he
100%.
He can like use, he doesn't bleed constantly for it to work. Like
I was wondering that too.
The blood and the whole compressed thing, or what's the word he used?
Convergence.
Yeah. Convergence. Like it just works a lot better.
He just like summons pools of blood, it feels like.
Well, no, he engages it, but then like he uses the amount that's in play. Like,
he pulls it. Because
you saw him pulling
it
off.
Like
he kept pulling it off the wall.
You're right, you're right.
Again, that was something in the manga that was never
clear,
very explicit to me. Yeah. And I like how explicit it is in the anime. It's so cool. It makes
the power so cool. He pulls his arm back and all the blood's coming back. It's like a Kamehameha coming to his hand.
One of my favorite moments from the fight, and I thought they nailed it, is when Yuji gets stabbed in the foot by the blood blade and then just kicks the foot like into his head. Yeah, it's just like so badass.
It's like Naruto grabbing the Kabuto's knife.
Yes, literally. Yeah. And he just uses it to attack with. I thought it was so fun.
Can we revisit Yuji's like double punch thing for a second? So basically he's just, his curse energy, he can't match it to his speed of his fists. Yeah, right, because he's still a novice.
Like rebounds.
Okay. All right, that's for anybody watching that maybe needs a refresher from season one.
Yeah.
This is
the first time they've brought it up in a little bit. I don't remember the like grasshopper guy.
No, they didn't bring it up.
Yeah, he wasn't smart enough.
He's not clever enough.
Yeah, he was not clever enough.
Yuji got fucked on, man.
Yes,
The final blow that Yuji does that gets blocked, was that him? Chozo just, that was just his blood that he was hiding, I guess. Yeah. And he knew, I took it as he knew that Yuji purposely wasn't using his left and he was waiting for that moment. Like he had been storing that blood there for that moment because he knew Yuji was going to use his left. And when he did, like that was completely what decided the fight here, is because
like
he kind of
probably
understood that.
Yeah. It didn't seem like he could like move the blood, like, in like an instant like that.
He only can control
like
his blood.
He like prepared it into his hand and then like it feels like it would be pre-prepared on his rib cage.
I like that little detail, how he cladded his arm.
Yeah, I like they had like the internal or like the narrator that was like doing that is dangerous physically to him, but like Yuji is more dangerous. So like he has to like take that like potentially negative technique. Because it's just like, we're just brawling in the bathroom, baby.
It was cool how both of them were starting to use the coagulated blood explosions to their advantage, like trying to blind one another when he would whip it out for that quick second and then it would explode. Yeah. It was so cool.
What'd you think about Yuji getting like his shoulder torn off?
This is the second time. It's funny because Luke is actually now watching Jujutsu Kaisen for the first time. He's on episode 3 and episode 4 is the cursed womb episode, which is...
Yeah.
So fantastic. I can't wait for him to get through that. But it's the same situation as that. Like Yuji just gets completely fucked on. But I know Sukuna is going to, he has to save
him. He's going to bail him out. Yeah. Even while reading, I'm like, I never got truly scared Yeah. Because I knew that there will be a catch.
The only big question
mark shows up at the end of the episode.
Yes,
yeah, which so is the first time this season, which is a big, big deal.
Which I wanted to say, he looks kind of like Madara, also looked like Emu from One Piece a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are the comparisons I got. But I guess we can go right into it after the finishing blow to Chozo, which wasn't very clear. And I guess I'll throw out some theories in my head that I guess my one question that I'll have before I start throwing out theories is, does Chozo only control his blood? Can he?
Yes.
Okay. He couldn't like cut Yuji open and start controlling his blood. It's only his, I believe.
To my knowledge, no.
I think
he can only probably imbue his own blood with cursed energy.
I'm just wondering if Yuji's blood mixed with his, which is also Sukuna's blood, and that just kind of overwent, like, just the power, quote unquote, of Sukuna's blood was just too much for Chozo. Is he dead? So is, because you gave us that post credit scene, was he like lying there dead?
I don't think Chozo ever dealt the finishing blow because he got,
I'm not saying
by those,
he doesn't even
Yuji.
Say
yeah, Yuji's alive. I'm talking about Chozo in this post credit scene. You said that the girls,
no,
are
the
there.
Girls pull up to Yuji's body.
Oh, Yuji's body. Okay, yeah, so Chozo is definitely still just wandering
Chozo's
around
alive.
Feeling like shit. Okay, and
yeah,
we
he's
don't
just
know what
mentally
happened.
Broken a bit.
I think it's definitely just... it has something to do. And the whole fucking okay. And then I'm also remembering the fucking weird ass scene where he's like, I have these memories that aren't real, and it's just Yuji just feeding him food.
They're just having dinner. Yeah,
I don't know.
Table.
I don't know how to take it. I just the only
it looked
thing
like
I can
an old
think
home
of,
movie. It was really funny.
I actually thought they did such a good job of making the animation look vintage.
Yeah, oh,
100%. I was like, oh, I feel like I'm watching, like, have you guys ever watched Monster or read it?
No.
Yes.
I've read Monster and I'm watching it, like, sometimes when I have nothing going on, I'll just watch it.
Yeah.
And it's like throwback anime style and it just looks so cool. Like Samurai.
Yeah, it did.
Like, what's the one, the space one?
Cowboy Bebop. Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it did not look like that in the manga. So I thought that was fun. Yeah.
I just, again, my only theory is that it has something to do with Yuji's blood.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a good theory.
It happens with Toto, too. Is it the same mechanism type thing? I think is also a question, but Toto also has that fake memory. You can't tell because Toto himself is such
oh
a
my god,
guy.
I forgot about that, too.
But, like, that was more like, was that felt like, Toto's having that memory and he's like really into it and believes it while Chozo's having this memory and is like mentally crippled by it, which is just
a
funny
you'll
contrast.
Get more about this later.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
A nice
it means nothing
it
to
comes
me.
Through like it's yeah. It's not a it doesn't
just,
hang
if they all become like if he somehow becomes boys with Yuji, I guess I don't know if that's what's foreshadowing, but I'd be down with that because I've seen some like fan art of like them being boys, and so I imagine like this memory might unlock some potential.
It's just funny too that you know at this point, like you see that and you can't tell if people are just like, shipping them because of this episode or because like later
no
on
idea.
In the story they actually become friends. That's actually really 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 funny.
But another fantastic episode. Watch this Freak, one dude. I was probably Freak standing up my the whole time dude. During this episode just loving life.
I recommend now that you've watched it, I go back and read chapters like 103 to 105, which is the bulk of the fight. The art in the bathroom fight is so unbelievably good. Like some parts of the art in Jujutsu Kaisen is like really just like blocky lines and
he like
not even
his art style is sketchy.
Yeah,
like it's like
this
like sketchy,
is
you know?
Unbelievable. All of like the sinks and the toilets being broken and the water's everywhere. It's so detailed and it's just I just love the concept of them just squaring up and just beating the shit out of each other. It's so fun. And the meteorite move was cool, like through his cloak and like it hits him and that was kind of fun. It maybe I'm not a huge fan that he had to pull that out like a little bastard, like we couldn't just fucking scrap hand to hand, but that kind of is what it is.
Chozo definitely garnered a lot of love from me in this episode.
He's a beast.
10 out of 10 fight, loved it.
All right, that'll just move us into episode 14, which is Fluctuations. This episode opens up with Maymay and Wee Wee. And
Wee Wee.
And what is it? Is it the smallpox? I guess special.
Yeah, it's
recurse?
The smallpox something. Yeah.
We just get the explanation of what's going on with it. The biggest takeaway, I would say, just is kind of Maymay's power is what we learn here. It's just she's just a badass. I love
she's pretty strong.
Act.
Yeah. She's resilient, handy. And a fucking bitch. I mean, she was willing to kill her brother. who would like literally lick her shit. So
I don't know if she was actually willing to die, though. I don't think that was like actually a thing.
Yeah, I know, but whatever.
The relationship like was so weird, but
like a cursed energy thing of like when he admits he's willing to die, then
would
like
that be okay, Nisama?
Yeah, like he gets like the ability to use this simple domain or something like that.
Okay, yeah. Like,
oh, okay. Oh, that. Okay, see, there you go, Kyle. See, that's why you're the czar.
I could see that being a thing.
Like you guys have said in the past, they just plan for these. They just give themselves such a cushion with these kinds of powers because of these things.
Her power itself, like the way that to get a jiu-jitsu stronger, like, or jiu-jitsu sorcerer to like surpass their own limits is like to create that binding pack on yourself that like you'll die in like the other scenario, etc. So she uses the kamikaze bird, and like the fact that the bird is willing to die breaks the limit on its cursed energy, and it just goes to
That was interesting. Yeah. I think that was the first time we found out that animals could do that.
So she doesn't, well, she makes a pact with, so it is real crows then. It's not a conjured crows, right?
That's such a fantastic question.
It could be conjured real crows. Because she says
only brought two in. I only brought two in. So
I think she brought two in. I think they were just accidentally brought in with her.
Yeah, but if she could conjure them, she would have made more.
Oh, yes.
So then they're probably real, is what I think.
Look at that deductive reasoning. All right.
See that, bro? I'm fucking astute.
Okay, you are astute. We were throwing that word around earlier when we were talking about the manga.
No, she's cool. And she's obviously strong physically. Like, she's got great martial arts skills. I love her weapon, the axe. And the more I see her, like, be agile and move around, and her fucking hair in her face cracks me up.
Yeah. And Geto has like a great reaction, too, to her coming out.
Not bad like, for a modern sorcerer.
I love that little, like, dragon spirit that like is just kind of circling him. It's just the look of him in like the big flowy kimono with that dragon spirit and the patch like stitches on his forehead. He just looks great. He just looks fantastic.
I think I love the way they explain the stuff in the anime. Sometimes when you're reading it can get a little tricky, you know, but the way they explained, I don't mean to bounce back, but Choso's osmosis, mumbo jumbo, red blood cells with the water, and then this Mei, how she explained the pact, like it's very, we've said this plenty, it's so thought out, the power and the like jujutsu sorcery is so, it's advanced, and it's like really fun to watch an anime like this that's, you know, a lighthearted at times gets so serious, you know.
This was the episode. These were the episodes that I've been craving with, you know, seeing characters, new characters and seeing their abilities. Mei we had known in the past, but we'd never seen her really fight, you know, to her fullest extent. And we kind of get that here. We also get it with Zenning in the next scenes, which
we can move right into that.
Yeah. But Mei, yeah. Love her. Definitely love her.
Zenning is a savage. His power is cool as fuck.
You are my station.
Did a much better job of explaining it, I thought. At least visualizing it. Yeah, versus the manga. Because I remember reading the manga twice and being like,
the powers are so unique.
I think I get
it,
but like the actual drawing, the different steps in the anime was like, okay, I really understand it now. So that was good.
His power, this Jujutsu Kaisen just has the most unique abilities. I've just never seen anything like this in any anime. The fact that the fight opens up and he's just talking about, you know, the frames and how technology nowadays kind of ruins it a little bit, and it's not the classic traditional way, and it's just like, what are you talking about,
yeah,
man?
Like,
and then
monologue.
Yeah, and then it just immediately gets explained because it's his power. And I love when they throw in Osanaki this too. I love when they just throw in just Gojo appreciation. They're just like, oh yeah, this guy is like the strongest jujitsu sorcerer behind Gojo.
Well,
like,
yeah, that happened. Yeah, that happened so many times where it's like someone's power and it's like, but you know, Gojo.
Yeah, Gojo's better.
Yeah, it was Mei. Crows like that nobody can stop it aside from Gojo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then same thing with Zenin. He's the fastest sorcerer, which is actually a detail I think that I didn't remember until they just repeated it, besides Gojo, of course. But like, dude, this is why I think this anime is so cool. You meet some seriously strong people and villains. Like, they have an all-star crew, the villains. These cursed spirits are freaking insane. This guy was basically just born. He's like, oh, you just evolved from a cursed womb. And he just starts whipping out domains and he's flying and controlling the water, conjuring the water, blah, blah, blah. And
love
then
that water
Zenin,
like
Zenin is like one of the top five strongest people we've seen, maybe.
And he
loses an arm.
Yeah, he's getting worse.
And like, that's insane. It's insane. Like, when you think about just, you know, the anime physics of the world or whatever, like how strong this guy was for 70 years, he's just like working it, laying pipe wherever he wants. He loses an arm. It's just really cool.
Dude, I love the shots of him just touching the octopus, him becoming a mirror and freezing for a second and just repeatedly punching. It's so cool. It was
Octobitch.
Yeah, it was so fucking awesome. Yeah. Maki was definitely out of her league here, but also proves her worth a little bit towards the end here. So I was hyped about that because I just love the women in the show. They're all just great. And so I wanted Maki to definitely get her moment. And she did, thankfully, in front of, I'm assuming it's her grandfather. I don't know if they've ever established that for us.
Well, it's her elder. I don't really know if it's her actual biological grandfather.
She definitely calls him elder, right? That's what it is. Like, it's embarrassing that happened in front of my elder or something like that.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's so interesting.
Well, from the same clan. We know they're from the clan.
We know her parents. I'm just curious. I don't think that her dad is this guy's son.
Yeah. And to basically just kind of elaborate a little bit more on his power, it seems like he can see frames like a little bit in the future, I guess, or like movements a little bit in the future. And you basically have to find the perfect, you have to recreate the motions of that, like those frames perfectly. And if he doesn't, he gets frozen for a sec, for 1 second.
Yeah, he can freeze.
Well,
that's
when he touches somebody.
Okay.
Right, Kyle?
If he touches you, I'm pretty sure, and then you don't like do the correct pattern of movements for the next 24 frames, which is a full second.
1/24th of a second, right.
Each frame, is 1/24th of a second. Then you freeze.
I think his power, I understood it more like, his ability allows him to break a second into 24 frames so that he could basically,
that's
like,
why he was
like
dodging
everything, because he can slows down time,
slowing down time for him essentially, where he can see it in 24. Okay, that makes sense. That was kind of the gist of what I was getting. Either way, it was still so cool. Again, to just back and forth, him getting frozen and Nami coming down swinging his like axe thing. This was one of my favorite fights probably in the whole.
You just called her
so
Nami.
Nanami.
He said Nanami.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, you're good. But yeah, I mean, were you, obviously you're surprised that Megumi shows up.
Oh my God. That was epic, honestly.
Yeah.
When he
they're literally about to die. They're about to get their asses kicked inside the domain for sure.
I just thought genuinely Zenin was going to be the one to, even though he had lost an arm and was just kind of getting worked a little bit here, I thought he was going to be the one to pull through, because he was just kind of still laughing around. He's like, oh, one measly right arm means nothing, kind of giving me Netero vibes from Hunter x Hunter, just willing to lay his body out on the line for everybody. But yeah, Megumi here was amazing, because it gives him a moment that, you know, it was probably long overdue for him, since we got, you know, it was all Ghetto Gojo backstory in the first few episodes. It was just like a pleasant reminder again here that, you know, Megumi is capable and very, you know, very strong himself.
She's not recommended. Domain, dude. It's just interesting.
He's a recommended.
His domain, all the domains seem just so broken.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost like the point of them. Yeah.
But then like someone else comes in who's stronger and then just completely destroys it.
The simple domain thing is cool, how you can glitch it.
Well, you'll get into it. We will get into it collectively, I guess, as we go forward and people get stronger, we meet new characters. The domain concept is so interesting, but there's so many little nuances to it too. Of like Megumi getting in there now makes the sure hit technique like not work.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just like an interesting thing. And then Megumi's like trying to actually like create the little hole so that they can get out, versus like actually trying to overtake the domain. It's just like a lot of kind of like game theory chessboard stuff, which is very interesting.
Wait, I thought that the reason the sure hit wasn't activated any longer was because Megumi was activating his domain, which negates it.
Yeah, that's it. Is that not? Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said you made it sound like just his presence was negating it, which I don't think is the case. Like if he just walked in, he'd be susceptible to the
I didn't mean
the first
yeah I didn't.
Right, I'm just making sure I understand it right. I just making sure, yeah.
Yeah. And then I just love Danami protecting him with the two perfect strikes.
Oh my God. That was so fucking badass.
I also like how they like continued the momentum of the first one and they just like slid past him and he gets like kind of the purple blood on him. I just thought that was like a good animation choice.
And they're doing a good job.
Yeah, the nunchuck thing, like the three-part spear that he throws Maki to, legendary. I love that thing.
So that ability must, that special great, the cursed object probably has like an ability that can kick back cursed energy. I actually don't know. I don't remember, so I'm just theorizing.
I feel like that's her weapon. That's her. I know she uses a lot of weapons, but I feel like I've seen her use a type of weapon similar to that in the past, so it feels like to me that
maybe I feel is her like she uses most that capable. Spear thing that broke.
I know she uses the spear thing a lot, but I feel like in the past we've seen her use like three-sided nunchucks like these, but I could be wrong.
I'm trying to like frantically look it up while Playful Cloud. That's what it is. She uses it in season one against Hanami. Like sends them flying.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That and like she was hyped to get it. Like I felt like she got powered up when she had those in that fight as well. So it feels like those are hers.
Yeah, it is. So it's the only special grade curse tool that is not imbued with a curse technique. Instead, Playful Cloud's strength relies on the raw power of its user. So it's just best utilized by those with incredible physical abilities rather than those with high levels of cursed energy, which is
perfect for her. Yeah. Okay. But I know she is like a weapons master. I know because she doesn't have any cursed energy that she has to rely on cursed weapons more than other people.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of lack of cursed energy, the ending cliffhanger.
I'm pissed. I'm so mad.
He's going to come in there. We already know he's going to come in there and just run amok, bull in a china shop. Just absolutely.
He just comes out. His arms are just like, yay, like I'm here. Like, and so everyone's reaction, they get all four of them. Even old Zenning is like, someone is coming through this fucking portal right now and he's going to fuck shit up. Oh, it's such a great shot. I got pissed though because I saw like some account tweet out like MAPPA ruins iconic manga panels when they try and animate it. And this was the exact comparison they said. They said the manga panel for him coming out or through the domain was like way better drawn than it was animated in the show. But I genuinely thought it was so cool how I'll send you the tweet afterwards. It was a ridiculous tweet. I think people will just try and get interactions.
They made a change to the like the Mei fight too. Like they don't hide behind the gravestones like and have that little conversation. There's no like demonstration with a raven that I remember or a crow that I remember. So that I thought that was a good change though. Completely off top. Well, tangentially related, but not actually what we're talking about. But I think that it's been completely fine, honestly. Like as like a manga to anime or anime to manga.
It's just the translation. Fucking manga people.
Yeah.
They're purists. And it's a shame because this turns off people to anime and stuff. It's because these old super weebs. Sorry, it's guys.
Bicker
like
online.
They just like get all pissed. And it's like, why, man? Just
Goku's
enjoy it.
Strongest.
Like, no. I don't think the person who's watching the anime got like that's anime only watcher watched Toji like pull up in the domain and was like, wow, that's actually a shitty entrance. Like, and also, do you think the people who are making the show who use the source material see this epic panel and they're just like, oh, let's fuck it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I
don't think so.
The entrance was so epic for me. I was literally watching while working and I just had to go unavailable for a second because I just needed to like breathe and scream because I just need next up Toji. This is going to be a lot because obviously Megumi is going to see his father who we don't really know yet if he's going to recognize him or not. That's still going to be something that gets brought up here. I think Maki is going to take an interest in him because she, like him, has no cursed energy. And I think she's going to find a respect for him and be like, holy shit, like I want to be this guy so badly. And Zenning's going to be like, they're all fucking Zennings, aren't they anyway? So it's like,
yeah, they are.
So now I'm kind of thinking the old man's going to be like, I wonder if the old man's going to recognize him too. Be like, oh, you should be dead. We cast you out because you don't have any cursed energy. So
he's 100% going to.
I
think he's going to. I think he's going to recognize him.
This is the perfect interaction for Toji because, like I said, they're all Zennings. So.
Oh, yeah. And Megumi's his fucking son.
Yeah. So, like, this is a big family reunion, basically. And I just. I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen.
It's fun hearing you say this shit, bro, because obviously know like the gist of what's gonna happen.
I just love
your excitement makes me excited.
I love Toji. I love Toji. Toji and Gojo.
They're goats. The best.
They're literally two of my favorite. I'm not even afraid to say they're two of my favorite anime characters just across.
You think
the board.
Toji beats Mike Guy?
I need more from Toji because I just can't ever. I will never get over you are the strongest taijutsu user I've ever come across. Like that moment for Mike Guy is legendary. It's tough. That's a good comparison though.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That would be a great fight too. Mike Guy just straight up versus Toji. Like that would be because they're both
watched Mike Guy beat all
Mike Guy doesn't
in
have any
battles.
Chakra either. So it's like
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's kinda why it would be actually
death battle. Oh, submit it to death battle.
And
YouTube.
If you let Toji use his bag, a sack of goods, whatever, then it might be a good one with the eight gates.
I wonder. I feel like Gojo versus
the rematch
Madara.
I want the rematch of fucking Toji versus Gojo, but I just know
where do you put Gojo, Kyle? Like, where do you think he fares in terms of the anime world? Like, do you think he's an S tier?
I mean, I would say easily, yeah. It just feels.
Do you think he works Kakashi too? Do you think he works Kakashi both Sharingan? Do you think he beats him?
Yeah, I feel like he beats almost.
I think
everyone.
So too. See, yeah,
Naruto too.
I feel like Naruto. Yeah, it's just like his power is so broken, and it feels like only people within his own universe
would truly like, understand how
could
to
actually
beat him.
Yeah, like do what's necessary.
Good point.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I just type of deal. That's what
That's why I fucking love him.
Well, but I mean, the question is if he has a fight other people not from his universe. Yeah, I mean, I feel like
even Goku. I feel like Goku might be the only one. No,
I guess we just haven't seen maybe like the upper limit of like the upper. Ironically, the upper limit of Limitless. Like, can it actually stop? Like the energy that Goku can create, like I don't know.
Yeah,
we've only really seen it like, you know, people's fists and like objects and stuff like that. So I don't know.
I just
plus Goku has instant transmission and stuff, which is, you know, Gojo's really fast too. But is he that fast?
I mean, Goku.
Well, I mean, the Limitless is always active.
I mean, Goku literally beat someone who could freeze time. You know,
that's just stupid. I mean, it's not. I love Goku, but it's just
good. It's ridiculous. When you say it, when you break it down like that, it's just, it is absolutely ridiculous.
All right. So I believe that's going to wrap up our coverage for 13, 14, / what is it? 37, 38. I mean, we're going to try with this two episode of, I mean, maybe if we watch the next episode and we love it so much that we're like, oh my God, we got to do a single episode. But the plan is definitely just going to be two at a time. So we'll be back in a couple weeks with math is 15 and 16. We're also, like Dave mentioned, we're about to wrap up our coverage of Gen V, the Boys spinoff on Amazon Prime. What else? The Haunting of the House of Usher on Netflix. The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix. The final Mike Flanagan show that'll be on Netflix. That's been popping off for us. People love that stuff. Perfect time of year, obviously, for it. So if you've been watching those shows, definitely check out our coverage of that. If you like our coverage
Invincible
in general.
Coming out soon.
Invincible is about to come out. Beacon 23 is about to come out. So we're moving forward with shows. Beacon, did you watch Silo? You did.
Yeah.
It's the same author. It's just like a series based off another book of his. I'm pretty sure it's the concept of a lighthouse, but it's in space. So like there's space lighthouses and like they get stuck on one of them, which I presume is Beacon 23. And
okay, cool.
I guess shenanigans ensue. Cersei Lannister's in it. I think she's like the main character.
Oh, I know the show you're talking about now.
So
great. Watch it. Well,
yeah. We've covered a lot of things. We'll be covering more things. So stick with us. That's all I got. Once again, we are Bingetown TV. And thank you for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.